We have been looking at a series of messages on living a balanced life. And we know that we need to adjust our lives as we are in God's Word, as we hear God's messages. We have to adjust our lives, and the way we adjust our lives we have spoke of previously. And we built an acronym on that word adjust. The A stood for an attitude of humility. The D stood for decisions, because decisions always determine our direction, and direction determines our destination. The J would stand for Jesus, because Jesus should be the center of everything we do. The U would stand for understanding all of our situations and the circumstances that we're in. The S stood for submitting to authority, and the T stood for trusting God. So as we adjust our lives, we use that as a way, as a means of adjusting our life. Now, we've been looking at living a balanced life. And as we have found out, there are five areas of our lives that require balance. We have the spiritual, we need spiritual balance, we need relational balance, financial balance, physical balance, and emotional balance. And as we've been learning, to have spiritual balance, we need to understand that we live with a purpose, and that we should always live freely, not allowing the past to govern what is in the future, to be the destiny of our future. We also need to live dreaming the dream that God has given us, and that we need to live intentionally. I just do that out of order to see if you're listening. Everybody's going, snoozer. We also have learned that we need to have relational balance, that in order to have relational balance, we live selflessly, we live lovingly, we live connecting, meaning we connect with God on a daily basis and with God's body on a weekly basis. We connect with our families and all of our friends, and we connect with the community that we live in. We've also learned that we need to serve, and that we serve one another, and by serving one another, we are serving the Lord. So as we jumped over into living a financially balanced life, we have found that we need to live wisely, and that we need to live looking at living responsibly. And today we're going to look at living generously. Generosity is a condition of the heart. It is a life that is lived with an open heart and open hands, realizing that everything that we have comes from God. And because everything that we have comes from God, it belongs to Him, and He allows us to use it. And so when we have an open heart and open hands, we are willing to give and to be generous with all that God has given to us. It's not about how much money we make. It's not about our assets. It's not about all of our resources. It's a condition of our heart. When we look at financial balance, many times finances can cause problems in our lives. It can cause relational problems. It can cause emotional problems. It can even cause physical problems, because many times we will do things physically in order to compensate for a weakness in another area. So finances are very important in our total life. And that's why it's important that we have a financial balance. Now, Paul was writing to the church in Corinth. And as Paul was writing to the church in Corinth, he was writing to them about the believers in Macedonia, and how the believers in Macedonia were stricken with poverty. They were down and out, but yet they had an abundance of joy, and they gave generously. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. And I want to read 9 verses which will reflect Paul's heart as he is trying to share his heart with the church at Corinth, because everybody goes through trying times, amen? Everybody has problems from one time or another financially, and that we cannot ever allow those things to destroy the balance in the other areas of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word. Paul writes to them, beginning in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to witness of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you that we can celebrate your resurrection each and every Sunday. And we thank you, Lord, that you have called us here today on this special Sunday, on this Palm Sunday, that we might remember your triumphant entrance into the city of Jerusalem, that you would willingly give yourself as a sacrifice for our sins. Father, that is so beyond our human ability to understand how gracious and how generous you truly are. And Father, we realize that you have given us everything. And for us to have closed hearts or closed hands would be an atrocity to your grace. So Father God, help us to see today how we should live generously and how that affects not only our lives and our families' lives, but everyone around us. And we thank you now and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Generosity is truly a condition of our heart. And if we're going to understand what generosity is, we need to first of all understand what generosity is not. What generosity is not. First of all, generosity is not determined by our wealth. Generosity is not determined by our wealth. The Macedonians were severely afflicted. They were living in poverty. If you've ever been in the Middle East, many of the individuals there today are living as they did back then. Many of them without running water. Many of them without electricity. They were living in poverty, but yet the church of Macedonia had an abundance of joy because they felt so much joy because of what Christ had done for them and what God had been doing in their personal lives. Generosity is a condition of the heart. It's a condition of the heart whereby we are grateful. And because we are grateful because of what God has done, we then become generous. Generosity is not about how much money we have. I think about generous people that I have been around. I think of men like Dick Powell. I think of men like Ralph Ball. Ralph Ball owned a little bit of property, and the church was just a half a mile down the road. And the little church was a little country church, and it was the first church that I pastored. And before I got there, they had just finished their new building. But what the church had done is they had decided that they needed to build. And they needed to build on the main intersection between Seneca and Neosho, known as Copeland's Corner. There used to be a little store there, a gas station, and a restaurant. That's where all the neighbors would gather. And so years before that, Ralph was married to Effie. And Effie was originally a Gilbert before she married Ralph Ball. And Effie had inherited this property. And so Ralph had put a lot of money into improving this property because they were planning on building a house there. They were planning on building that house for their family because Effie's daughter and grandkids were all there and they were going to be getting married, and so it'd be a great place for the grandkids. They wanted to have everybody around them, so Ralph had improved that property for his family's sake. And Ralph was a deacon of the church there at Bethany Baptist Church. And when the building committee got together and they decided to start looking at different properties, they found out that Ralph owned the property right there just off of the corner of Copeland's Corner. So they went to Ralph and they said, you know, we'd like to buy this from you. And Ralph said, well, this property was Effie's inheritance. And so I've put a lot of money into improving this property. I was planning on building a home here. But if you go back and you pray about it, and you say you want this property, I think we can work something out. So the committee got back together, and they were praying about it, and they shared it with the church, and the church was praying about this property because this property was very, very easy to see from the highway. It was a centerpiece in the community. It was right there at Copeland's Corner. So the building committee comes back to Ralph and said, well, Ralph, we really believe God wants us to have this property. So we want to pay you for this property so that, you know, we know that you've put a lot of money invested in this property for your family. So we want to pay you for this property. And Ralph said, if God wants you to have that property, he says, I've been praying as well. And he says, if you want that property, I'll go get the deed right now and sign it over to you free of charge. Free of charge. So they did that. Not only did he give them the land, but he paid for all the concrete that went in to build the church. And before too long, they stood the walls, they put the roof on, and Bethany Baptist Church moved from down the road a half mile to that prime real estate. There is a man by the name of Art Call at Bethany Baptist Church. When I got saved, I would imagine Art was in his high 80s or low 90s as far as his age. He was kind of a frail man, and he would always walk in with a cane, and he'd take little bitty steps, you know, and I'd play with him being a young man at heart, and I'd say, you know, Art, you could take bigger steps if you'd cut that little tie off between your shoes when you buy them. He'd smile at me and just continue to walk. A couple years after I was saved at Open Door Baptist Church, they decided to build. So I drew up the building, and they started to look at it, and we started getting estimates of how much it's going to cost and all that, and it all passed. And so we started the building and got the basement all dug and got the floor on it and got the wall stood and got it all enclosed in. And there was about five of us that worked all the time. After work, we'd always go and we'd work till 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. And it was quite a task, and we built that church. And every day, Art would come with his little lightweight lawn chair, and he'd kind of use it as a cane. And he'd come in, and he'd open up the lawn chair, and he'd sit down, and he'd watch us work. And he'd make comments along the line, you know. And we'd oftentimes say, you know, Art, you don't need to come. Watch us, you know. You don't need to do that. And sometimes he would leave, and half an hour later he'd come back with sandwiches and drinks. And no one told him to go get anything, but he figured we could use something to eat and take a little break and eat and get something to drink. And we'd say, Art, you don't need to do all this. And he says, you know, if you really feel that God wants to use you to build this church, the least I could do is come and watch. Okay. Generosity. As a young pastor, living from paycheck to paycheck, wife babysitting so we can put groceries on the table, Dick Powell came into my life. And many times Dick would have me over for chili, and Dick's a shorter man. And he'd sit me on the couch, and then he'd lean over and he'd preach to me, and the veins in his neck would just pop out. And when he got real close, he'd spit at you as he spoke. And I'd have a conference I was going to go to, and he'd say, you got enough money to get there? And I'd be, well, you know, we'll make it. And he'd reach in his pocket, and he'd get some money out and say, here you go. Pastoring at Bethany Baptist Church, old man Everett Robinson. He was a tinkerer. He built little horse-drawn wagons and carriages, and he'd make the harness and get the little plastic horses. And in my study at home, at the top of shelf, is one that he made specifically for me. One day he came to the church, and I was the only one there, and he sat down and he said, Pastor, looks like your horse needs some new shoes. Of course, he was talking about my blazer and my tires. I said, yeah, but I just haven't been able to get up enough money to buy any used ones. And he says, well, how about some new ones? I said, well, I just don't have the money for that. He says, let's you and I go to the tire store. And so he went and took me to the tire store and put new shoes on my horse. Generosity. It's not about how much money you have. It's not about your wealth. It's not even how much you give. Generosity is the posture of our heart. Whether our heart is open, realizing that everything that we have received from God has come from Him and it belongs to Him and He can use it any way He wants to. That's what it's about. It's not about how much we give, whether we give $50 or $500 or $5,000. It's not about how much we give. It's about the posture of our heart and how our hands are always open to receive as well as to give. We need to also look at some Old Testament giving. Old Testament giving, or what the Bible says. We'll go to the second one. There we go. What the Bible says regarding generosity. Look with me, please, at 2 Corinthians once again, at verses 3 and 4. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. When we look at this, it says that they were giving according to their ability. When we look at giving according to our ability, we're talking about proportional giving. As God gives to us, we give back to God. And as God gives to us, we take a portion of that and give it back to God. It's proportionate giving. They were giving within their ability. It's proportionate. But it says that they went beyond. That they were giving beyond their ability. And that's the sacrificial giving. It's when we have been, when we have received and we took a portion of that and gave that back to God, and then our hands are still open and God says, I'd like to use this, and I'd like to use this, and I'd like to use this. When I was pastoring at Bethany Baptist Church, our car was on, it had its own death rattle. You'd put the brakes on and it would rattle. You'd push down on the foot feed, it would rattle. Sometimes you'd get in to start it and the windshield wipers would do this and you couldn't get them to shut off. I mean, all sorts of electrical problems with the car. We'd had it for years. It had lots of miles on it. And one of the people from the church had a used car lot. And we needed something that would fit three kids. So we got a Colt Vista wagon. It was a go-kart on wheels. It was economical to drive, but you better get it up to about 70 before you hit the hill so you could at least do 30 at the top. It had no power whatsoever. I had built a little rack up on top that I could put luggage in when we'd go to Iowa, and it was aerodynamic. You know, I had aerodynamic front on it. Well, what I didn't know is that driving 65 mile an hour with that wind, it was pushing down. And halfway to Iowa, my CV joint went out. So I called the guy from the church where we got the car, and he said, I'll be glad to go get it. He brought us up a car and then picked our car up and took it back. And he said, you can just bring my car back. Generosity. The Macedonians gave proportionately, and they gave beyond their ability, sacrificially. We also need to see that generosity is an issue of the heart and only the heart. Look with me in Matthew 6:21. Matthew 6:21. It says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We should give generously in response to what God has done for us. Now, you know, I like motorcycles. Everybody knows that. I ride one. Sometimes. When it's nice. We were going to go riding today, but God said, no, I'm going to let it rain. He's just washing more salt off the road. It's okay with me. I like boats. I like campers. But what hurts my heart is when someone gets a boat, camper, or motorcycle, and then they use that to not be in church. Why would God give you something for you to abstain from worshiping Him? It can't happen. When my son went to buy a motorcycle, I said, well, you know, you're going to have to fit that into your schedule, and it can't take the place of worship. You have to fit it into your schedule some other time. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we truly have a heart that is right, it's going to be open and our hands are going to be open, willingly receiving and giving generously back to God. Lastly, we need to see the Old Testament giving. When Moses was out there in the wilderness, God wanted him to build the tabernacle. Build the tabernacle and get that all done. And so Moses told the people, you need to bring all the stone, you need to bring the wood, you need to bring it all here, and we're going to have these people, we're going to build a sanctuary for God. So they started doing that. And they did it so much that it started creating a problem. Because when they piled the stones, it wasn't just a pile of stone, it was a mountain of stone. And when they stacked the wood, it was a mountain of wood. And so it was always in the way, and they were having to move it, and it was like, oh my goodness, we got way too much. We got way, way, way too much. Look at Exodus 36 with me for just a moment. Exodus 36, verse 5. Moses says, and they spoke unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. They were bringing way, 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 way too much. Their generosity was overflowing, and they were using everything, and still they had stuff left over. To the point that Moses had to tell them, stop! Stop giving! You're giving too much. When has a preacher ever said that? You're giving too much. Look at verse 6. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. Moses said, stop. Yeah, you're doing too much. And some people might think, Well, Pastor, that was after the law. The people were so enthralled with God because God had blessed them with the law. No, it wasn't because of that at all. It was because of their heart. Because even before the law was given, Abraham gave generously. And as God blessed him, Abraham gave more generously. And as God blessed him, Abraham continued to give more generously. And every time God blessed him, Abraham gave it back to God. Read it. It's in Genesis chapter 14. The man who wrote the... Never mind. I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I've got his book in there. I've read it. Anyway, he wrote the book and made so much money that he has paid back the salary that he has received from every church he's ever pastored in his life, the purpose-driven church by Rick Warren. Now it comes to me. He has given it back. His entire salary that he ever got from every church, he's given it back to the church. It's about the heart. And that's why the prophet Malachi, in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, Malachi said these words. He says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." Wow. Bring it into the storehouse. What's the storehouse today? The church. See, it's a condition of heart. If our heart is open and our hands are open, God can easily give to us. And if our hands are open, he can use all that he has given because it's all his. And you know something? You can't outgive God. Lastly, we need to look at what generosity is. Generosity is a conviction to put God first in everything. It's a conviction of putting God first. So when I get my check, my tithe comes out first. That's the first thing that comes out. God is more important than the electric company. Amen? I can live without electricity. People did it for years, hundreds of years before electricity was ever made. But I can't live without God. It's a conviction of putting God first in all things. First of all, we need to see that they gave themselves to the Lord first. If we're truly putting God first, then we're giving ourselves. We're giving of ourselves generously. We're giving of our time, we're giving of our talent, and we're giving our tithe. Giving of the Lord first. And then they gave to others. Notice what verse 5 says in our main text, 2 Corinthians 8:5. "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." They gave of themselves not only to the Lord, but to others. Generous people look at other people and look at money and look at assets and look at resources differently. I'm going to say that again. Generous people look at people and money and assets and resources differently. they look at them as gifts from God. And because they look at them as gifts from God, they realize that God has given them everything and that they own nothing. And because it's all God's, God can use it any way he wants to. Not only do they give themselves to the Lord and to others, but they give money away. They give money away. Now, it's not like, well, I just got an abundance of money, so if I don't need it, so here, why don't you use it? No. No, because, see, each one of those individuals that I talked about, Dick Powell, Art Call, Ralph Ball, they gave their tithe to the church already. So what they did for the church and for me was all sacrificial, over and above and beyond. That's what the Annie Armstrong offering is. See, tithing goes to the church, amen? Tithing is for the church, but giving is for the kingdom. And the church is a part of the kingdom. And we have to realize that God, that this is not the kingdom of God, this is the local church, but God uses the local church to build his kingdom. So the tithe comes to the storehouse, and the giving goes to the kingdom. They gave money away. In closing, when we truly believe that God owns everything and that we own nothing, then our hearts will be right and our hands will be open. And that's the beginning of being gracious and giving and generous. That way we can truly live a balanced life. If we want financial balance, then we need to live generously. I want to quote C.H. Spurgeon. I'm going to read it so I don't misquote it. He says, "You have never really lived until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." You have never really lived until you have done something for someone who can never repay you. That's living generously. As our worship team comes, some people struggle with tithing, some people struggle with giving, some people, they don't have that on their agenda financially. It's got to be first, or else our heart isn't right. I've never been a pastor that harps on tithing, because tithing is part of everything else. It is a condition of our heart. And today we're going to have a song of invitation. Maybe you've been struggling with finances and you need someone to pray with you. Maybe someone in your family has been struggling and they need some help. Maybe you're wanting to give more because God has been so gracious to you. This is going to be your opportunity to simply come and search God's face and allow him to touch your heart.